Japan, Cuba, Senegal, India. You don't have to buy a plane ticket to experience the culture of those nations. Because performers, dozens of them with roots in Africa, Asia, and the Caribbean, will all perform tonight at Baobab Stage in Town Square. Wassa Koulibaly is the owner of the theater and the artistic force behind tonight's Tribal Night, and she joins us along with three other performers. Wassa, thanks for being with us and welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
It's great to have you here. So a lot of performers at Baobab Stage tonight. Tell us what we can expect from tonight's performance.
Lots of culture. We have a lot of drumming, a lot of dancing from all over the world. So, and it's also going to be a fashion as well. So it's a collaborative thing where a bunch of culture come together all in Vegas, and we're going to celebrate with drum and dance.
How do you pull off something like this? How do you bring it all together?
They're all here. It just happens.
but you have to know whom to call, don't you?
Yeah. Or they come to you. You're like, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's put it.
So how many performers?
We're probably going to have about 50 performers.
About 50 performers.
Yes.
Now, we're also joined by three other performers. Danny Scheinman plays guitar and dundun. Peter Fan plays kora and djembe. And Papa Diara plays balafon and dundun. There are three of you here now, but you guys are actually part of a much larger ensemble. Is that Peter Fan? Is that right?
I'm a cast member of one of the Cirque shows in town, and the show is Arcana. So that is certainly a large ensemble. We in this room all play together in a variety of other contexts as well. It seems to be things are emerging all the time for new modes to play together. You know, it's very rich.
Speaking of a coming together of cultures, you play the kora.
Yes.
I had not seen the kora played before, but watching you play it, I mean, it looks as though the strings are arranged almost like a harp.
Yeah.
And yet it's got the feel with the body and such, more of perhaps a guitar or some other instrument like that.
Yeah, this is a very old instrument that has fed the creation of many other instruments after that. Like the banjo is a descendant of it, and some of the members of the harp family around the world all stem from this instrument. This is something that comes from the 12th century, and it's really changed very little in those, 800 years or whatever it is. But it's a 21-string harp lute, technically, where it's a harp lute because the strings pass over a bridge, but they go from one point to another point over a bridge. So, it's a very unique instrument.
You could play a 4-string instrument or a 6-string instrument. The kora has a few more strings than that.
Yeah,
that's true. Why do you play the kora? What do you like about it?
Well, the kora is something I heard a lot when I was living in New York a bunch of years ago, and really I was steeped in the West African musical culture as a percussionist and bass player. And I kept hearing the kora, and there were no kora players in North America at the time. There was really basically none. And the Ballet Africain, which is a really important ensemble out of Guinea, arrived in New York and did a big show there. And I went to see it, and there were two kora players in it. And it was remarkable, the sound of this instrument. It's very magical. It has a kind of a lilting, kind of water-like sound that everyone sort of feels like they've heard before. But it's very magical, kind of. So these two kora players arrived, and one of them, the next day after the show, I was accompanying a dance class as a drummer, and he walked into the room holding his kora, and I ran up to him and said, "That instrument, I want to learn how to play it." And he became my teacher, and then my friend, and then my real teacher, and then my real friend. And before long, I was living with his family in Guinea, studying that instrument. It's a lineage instrument that's passed down from generation to generation. And usually, any kora player except for me that you'll ever meet will have the last name Sisoko or Kuyate.
Here is Peter Fand, Papa Diara, Danny Scheinman, and Wassa Koulibaly doing a bit of a jam featuring plenty of percussion, some voice, and Peter's kora. That's the quartet of Wasakulivali, Danny Scheinman, Papa Diarra, and Peter Fan, giving something of a preview of tonight's performance at Baobab Theater in Town Square. We've got a link to information about the performance, which features a lot beyond world music, at knprnews.org. Papa Diarra is with us, too. Papa Diarra is it's a percussionist, but I notice you getting out what looked like a marimba, except it didn't stand about 4 feet tall. The balafone? Is that what you play?
Yeah, it's called a balafone.
The balafone. How does what is the difference between the balafone and something like the xylophone or the marimba?
Balafone is, is African. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially from the West Africa.
From West Africa?
Yeah, it's played by the griot. Mm-hmm. I am griot. So I was born with a balafone.
You were born with a balafone in your hand.
Yeah, in my head. So yeah, it's a griot.
Have you found a receptive audience in Las Vegas for your music?
Yeah.
The people who are waiting to hear what you play.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot. Yeah.
It's got to be very satisfying.
They got to come in and see it.
Danny Scheinman is here too. He plays the djunjun percussion, but also plays the guitar. I notice with the guitar, there is a sound, and I tend to associate it, rightly or wrongly, with just a few forms of music, including African music, where there's almost a steely twang to the sound of the instrument. I mean, is that a part of what you're doing? You could be playing nylon string guitar, I suppose, mm-hmm. and it might sound different. But how did you find your way into this area of music?
I was at a black arts festival, and I saw people playing this music, and I just kind of went after it. Pursued it.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been a guitarist?
Since I was 13.
Okay, so this was, I assume it was years after you began playing the guitar.
Yeah, drums festival. Are kind of somewhat of a new thing.
What do you suppose it was about that music? You were a veteran musician even then, but what about that music?
I think it's like really far away from the way I grew up, so it was attractive in that way. We didn't really have that stuff when I was growing up. Like, you have drum kit, things like that. But you never have this, like, all-out cathartic drum experience where everyone's, like, going wild.
What was it like at first, making that transition from maybe American music to music of the world, of Africa?
There were a couple times where I got physically kind of put in place. Like, if you're not playing well, they'll kind of put their knee in your back or something, like, so it was an adjustment.
What did you have to, what happened to get the knee in the back?
You just, like, see the way I'm sitting right now? Mm-hmm. If you play djembe like that, you're going to get.
Leaning back kind of sideways a little bit.
You're going to get an elbow right in your back.
That's telling you've got to lean forward and get into your instrument.
Whereas, like, a guitar teacher back in the day would be like, you know what? That's not the way we play. If you can adjust yourself, that would be much better.
Did you find the knee was a little bit more to the point?
Yeah, a little bit more direct.
Here's a performance featuring plenty of percussion and vocal from Wasakulivali with Peter Fand, Papa Diarra, and Danny Scheinman. Thank you. Peter Phan, Papa Diarra, Danny Scheinman, and Wasa Koulibaly doing a little bit of percussion jamming. They perform tonight at the Baobab Theater in Town Square. We've got a link to information on that performance at 8 this evening at knprnews.org. Wasa Koulibaly, we've talked in the past about how you came to Las Vegas. If you tell us the story again, it's a very dramatic story. And for many of us who don't know you, we've not heard your story. But tell us about your trip here, your travels that got you here.
Well, I was in I was going to high school then, and I saw this white guy playing drum on the beach. And then a month later, he invited me to come to the United States with him, and so I did.
But this was a surprise to your parents, wasn't it?
Yeah, this was a surprise to my parents. Yeah. I just took off and I called them, by the way, I'm in the United States. So they were shocked. But they forgive me.
They forgive you. So you came here and you wanted to be a dancer. I mean, you were a dancer, but you...
No, I wasn't a dancer. It's when I came here and I went to Hawaii and I would go to nightclub and I see people dancing like that. I'm like, wow, that's so cool. And I started dancing and started catching people's eyes and, oh, you're good. And that encouraged me, actually, to move to L.A. to study a little bit and audition. And that's when I found Cirque du Soleil.
You found Cirque du Soleil. Mm-hmm. And you joined the cast of Zumanity.
Yeah, I joined the cast of Zumanity.
Did you meet other performers with stories that were like yours? They kind of ran off to find themselves or found themselves in a different part of the world and ended up in Las Vegas?
Yeah, many of us. Almost the whole half of the cast is international, from France, from Ukraine, from Brazil, all different parts of the world. So we come and meet in here.
NPR has been doing a series about rhythm as of late, which seems pretty appropriate considering the conversation here. It varies so much in different cultures. And I'm curious to your ear, how do some of these rhythms vary? What's the difference between, let's say, a West African rhythm and something from Cuba or the Caribbean?
What's more interesting to me is the culture that I grew up in as an American. We learn about time in as different of a way as you can imagine from the way that the West Africans and Cubans learn about time. So for us, when you hear something that sounds like this, for Americans, we think of the second one of those as the downbeat.
Bum, bum, da, dun, bum, da, dun, bum, da, dun.
And in African music, very often hear da-da-da-da-da-da-da, which is like a really strange thing for us. Where all of our nursery rhymes go da-dun-da-dun-da-da-da-da-dun. You know, it's like that. That's the time. So for Americans, the funny thing that's often made fun of is the question, where is the one? You look around the room and everybody's tapping their foot in a different place, and it's maddening.
Well, that was James Brown's stock and trade, wasn't it? The one.
The one,
that
yeah.
Was, I mean, everything
was on the
one.
But what happens when you don't know which of the beats is the one? And you can't for the life of you tap your foot. You know, or if you really believe you know where the one is and you look around and you realize everyone's tapping their foot really together on another part of the beat.
Except you.
Yeah. There was a production company in New York several years ago that did productions of West African music, and it was called Where's the One Productions. And it's very classic because this is, you know, it's a through line that's always true when you see Americans learning that music. But what's cool is that eventually you start to feel the beat in a different way and you understand time in a different way, and it's like a revelation.
Danny Scheinman plays guitar and Dundun. Papa Diarra plays balafon and Dundun, djembe as well. Peter Phan is the artist playing both djembe and kora. And Wasa Koulibaly is dancer, singer, and owner of Baobab Stage. Baobab Stage is where you will see this performance coming up tonight. It's in Town Square, and performers, dozens of them, with roots in Africa and the Caribbean and Asia, will be there. We've got information at knprnews.org. Peter, Papa, Danny, Wasa, thank you all very much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.